This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here. Hello there. I'm the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy, continuing to bring you the latest updates on our ever-changing industry. Hey, if you're tired of hearing the buzz about electric vehicles, don't sneer at it. Embrace the information. You know, knowledge is power that helps you react. Are you going to face the inevitable change in the industry as an opportunity, or will you continue to tune out and then let your business fall one piece at a time? Is it too early to keep you informed on the evolution of EVs? Well, I believe not at all. Derek Kaufman is here, and he brings to the table some very interesting facts and figures to keep you engaged in the evolving electrification of the vehicle. This stuff you need to know. Hey, thanks to the partnership of NAPA. You know, the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certification Program offers a premier tier for members to provide consumers with a consistent experience anywhere in the country. Gold certified members earn benefits like preferred referrals, $1,500 in marketing funds, tracks for free, and more. To learn about gold certification, speak to your NAPA representative. If you missed another great discussion on the electrification of our industry, check out The Town Hall Academy, episode 232, and a wide-open discussion on the service impact and trends on EVs. Find it on my website, remarkableresults.biz, or on my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel, or on your favorite podcast listening app. It's a great episode to piggyback with this one. Hey, warm welcome to Derek Kaufman. Hi, Derek.
How are you?
I'm great. Welcome. Thanks for being here. 40 years in the transportation industry and currently managing partner at Schwartz Advisors. Last time I saw you was February 2020 in New York.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It was at Morgan Stanley, and you made a heck of a presentation because you're the EV guy in the industry. I mean, if anyone wants to know about where are we going? Where's technology taking us? You seem to be the guy. And Derek does research. He calls Carm. He says, let's do this thing. And in the audience benefits.
I enjoy them, Carm.
Thank you so much. The last one we did was April 2020. And it was episode 529. And believe it or not, it was called The Future of Battery Electric Vehicles. And son of a gun, aren't we going to talk about that today again? Why? Because there's never been a greater sense of movement and direction and the geopolitical stuff, if I'm using the right words. And we need to talk about this. And I've never done more shows on it. I got shows coming up, panels coming up on statistics, on servicing trends, just like the stuff you're doing. So before we start, let's serve up some of the acronyms that I know you're going to talk about. For example, EVs.
So, you know, one of the things is as you get into researching all this and, you know, stay in contact with the people that are developing the various systems, you kind of get more and more granular as to how you think about electric vehicles. So we tend to group all the headlines in EVs are doing this and EVs are doing that. But the fact is you've got HEVs, which are the hybrid cars. It's a Prius, you know, has been around for a long time. Then you've got mild hybrids coming along. And the Europeans, especially Audi, 48-volt type of technology that gives you limited range, but more driving power from the batteries and motors. And, you know, it's a step up from a hybrid. Then you go full plug-in hybrid, which is still has a gas engine in it. But you plug it in just like you do a full battery electric vehicle. And then we talk about BEVs, which are battery electric vehicles. And when we're talking about EVs today, I'm actually talking about BEVs, battery electric vehicles. I think it's a better distinction. And then we might reference ICEs, internal combustion engines, and we'll throw a couple others in there, VIO, vehicles in operation, VMT, vehicle miles traveled. So, we'll hit you with every acronym we possibly can.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you clearing that up. Now, look, Derek, all the headlines these days suggest that electric drive cars will be taking substantial share of the new car sales and a growing percentage of the VIO by 2030. Now, if you've been forecasting EV sales for several years, are you increasing your estimates?
Yeah, you said at the opening, Carm, that you know, you've had a number of discussions and shows about this topic. Well, you have to, because you've got to run really hard to stay up with, you know, what's going on. So we stay in touch with tier one developers, tier two suppliers to them, the people kind of behind the scenes that are working with the OEMs to lay in the new platform. And there's no doubt that in the last 3 years, we've continuously increased our estimate of the new car sales of battery electric vehicles. I really do think that we read so many headlines right now, but it really is necessary to kind of get beyond the headlines. A lot of times you read the headline, and then if you read the body of the article, I just did one today on BMW, and they said BMW to go electric drive by 2030. Then in the middle of the article, it says it will be a mix of hybrid vehicles and full battery electric vehicles. So you've got to get beyond the headlines.
No doubt. It's a more granular view. I like it. And you're doing the research on it. So tell me more.
We are running a forecast, kind of an evergreen forecast, and it takes this granular view of what I just mentioned in all the acronyms. So we're looking at gas only and diesel only vehicles. What's the trend there? And then hybrids, mild hybrids, plug-in hybrids, full battery electric vehicles, and then we also kind of track the fact from new car sales and from a service perspective that five of the six categories have engines in them. So what are, you know, what percentage of vehicles will have engines in them in 2040 or 2050? So what you're reading, obviously, is all about the BEV segment. But we really do think that you have to take a look at these other groupings and understand that they are going to, you know, kind of substitute for one another, going forward. So we think that kind of hybrids have been in the market for some time. They're complicated. They're expensive to build. So we see them kind of giving way to mild hybrids. And then the plug-in hybrids, we really think will be, they'll come up, peak very quickly, and then go back down as battery electric vehicles substitute for them. So over a longer period of time after 2030, we think that battery electric vehicles kind of take the lead.
So how do you think about the demand for BEVs?
We are thinking in terms of two different scenarios. One is consumer demand, and in consumer demand, we include the incentives that the government might put on, tax credits or whatever. And then we also think about kind of a 2X scenario, we call it, and that's one that's based on government mandates where, you know, you see, you know, so many of these governments in Europe, for instance, just saying that, look, beyond 2030, you can't sell a gas engine car, or beyond 2035, you can't bring a gas engine car into the town of London. So, you know, we have a consumer demand, and then we have a government mandate. And then we try to take into account the activities of the OEs right now. Believe it or not, there are like 500 BEV models either in production today or about to launch in the next 2 years. So we're watch the investments being made and, you know, try to dial that into our projections.
500 models?
The great challenge, of course, is that, you know, BEV shares of markets around the world range from kind of 3% to 9%, depending on what country you're looking at. You have 500 global models chasing some very small market shares. So this will be a real challenge for the OEs to, you know, to make money. The global game is, you know, a lot different than the USA game. And, you know, I don't think the headlines distinguish that very well. And I'll give you a couple of stats. In China last year, there are 1.3 million BEVs sold, and they're forecasting about 1.8 million for 2021. So to give you some relativity, about 300,000 BEVs sold in the United States as a comparison. If you think about the battery plants that are being built around the world, there are 142 of them in construction right now. 107 of them are in China. So China is kind of driving the adoption and production of BEV cars worldwide. And then European countries are increasingly mandating BEVs by 2030 or 2040s. I think that the U.S. is a slightly different situation, you know, based on our geography. You know, we're going more slowly. And right now, the federal government's not mandating the sale of BEVs. They're coming up with other incentives. I don't know if you saw just in the last 4 weeks, there is a bill in the Senate now that says, you know, we've had a $7,500 credit for BEVs. Well, the bill moves that to $12,000 a car if the BEV is made in a union shop in the United States. And then you get $10,000 if it's made in the United States, but it's a non-union shop. So, you know, a lot of the Asian brands, for instance, BMW, are building cars in South Carolina, they're non-union. So you'd get $10,000 on those. And then if it's made outside the United States, you get $7,500. And they also took, there was a 200,000 mile cap. So, or 200,000 vehicles, excuse me. So if you sold 200,000 BEVs, then you didn't get credits going forward. They've taken that cap off and said they replaced it with a BEVs at 50% market share total. So once BEVs reach that, then you don't get incentives anymore. So how's that for a convoluted but very specific incentive plan? You know, it's ironic that in the United States, we may just see pickup trucks be the key driver of BEVs going forward.
Unbelievable.
One of the things I was, tracking, and I'm sure you've seen the launch of the Ford 150. I think probably one of the most successful launches of a vehicle in Ford's history. It was pretty wildly successful. And you've got Rivian and, GM with their Silverados and Sierras, Ram doing the 1500. They're all bringing out BEV models of them. So about 70% of the new cars sold in the United States are light truck platforms right now. So, you know, the United States might be unique in this whole BEV game in the world that light trucks actually lead the market to BEVs in the future.
I want to get back to your forecast, but I just want to make a comment on the trucks. To me, that could be the difference maker.
Yeah, we really think that if you want to talk about an inflection point for BEVs in the United States, it's probably not sedans. It's probably not even Tesla. It's probably trucks like the Ford 150. You know, you just need to see that, 70% of new car sales and 60.2% of the VIO, the vehicles in operation in the country, are light truck platforms. So, it's when that starts to go BEV, that's the turning point in the United States.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Derek discusses the impact BEVs will have on component services. Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a Gold Certified Auto Care Center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through NAPA Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on NAPA's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NAPA Tracks shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing NAPA store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop. All right, let's get back to your forecast. How do you see it rolling out?
Well, let's talk about the consumer demand one first. So, yeah, and again, we include the financial incentives here. So we show BEVs getting to about 22% of new car sales by 2030 and about 32% by 2035. Then after the 2035 period, they begin to ramp. So they're 45% of new car sales by 2040 and about 75% by 2050. If we go into the 2X scenario where the government simply mandates it, then the numbers actually move to 38% by 2030, about 57% by 2045, on up to 67% in 2040, and fully 90% by 2050.
Again, go back to my head hurts. It's numb to see this stuff and to stop and think how quickly time goes by. And I'll be out of business, or I'm not worried. We got to pay attention to this. It's too important for the survival of the aftermarket not to keep this. You know, and I think a lot of people hear of all the discussion going on and read the headlines and assume that we're going to flip 100% BEVs by 2030 or 2035. But you're talking about more conservative growth, really.
We are, and we don't think from a service shop standpoint that BEVs are the end of the game for service shops. We think there are a lot of opportunities in them. But from a forecast standpoint, there are others out there that are actually way more aggressive. We worked with Morgan Stanley earlier this year, actually did a conference with them. And if you know Adam Jonas, they're just a really sharp guy. He's their key analyst for automotive. And his baseline scenario is kind of closer to our 2X scenario. So he thinks that mandates will be driven. And, you know, there are some things, if you think about how BEVs come in, you know, we think it's a balance. I guess we're more conservative because we're dialing the product development timing. We think about the U.S. geography and just, you know, some of the challenges there. We understand that, you know, a high percentage of them may be used for your commute, and the average commute's 40 miles a day. So a BEV is probably perfect for it. But there are a lot of places like Texas that we think, you know, we just don't see it. And the vehicle miles traveled per vehicle trends too. We think BEVs are probably going to travel, you know, kind of half the miles of an ICE car simply because of how they're used. And, you know, I think that both OE dealerships and independent shops need to think about the ramp of BEV sales now and start preparing for this future.
So many things going through my mind, like speed, horsepower, battery life. And although I don't think we're necessarily here to talk about all of that because you're talking about forecasting, but those are great points that you made. And certainly our audience for this podcast is interested in predictions of how BEVs will sell, but they are even more interested in how BEVs will affect service trends. How do you see BEVs affecting the VIO?
So in our forecast, we forecast new car sales, and then we have an algorithm that says how long does it take a new car sale to get to the aftermarket in a material percentage, you know, level, so that shops are seeing them. So, you know, we start out with the baseline, and we're about 5% of the VIO being BEVs in 2030, about 11% by 2035, on up to like 34% in 2050. If we go 2X and force the mandates, then we're at 8% in 2030, about 18% of cars in 2035, and then on up to 30% by 2040, 48% by 2050. one of the things that we need to think about here is that, other governments might become a bit of a benchmark. Politicians in the UK, for instance, have set a mandate that all vehicle sales in 2040 must be BEV 100%. But they went further and they said 100% of the VIO must be BEV by 2050. Now, can you imagine? We have 280 million vehicles on the roads of the United States right now. What does it take to shift those things, even by 2050? Can you imagine that shifting to 100% BEV, by that time? It's very hard to imagine. I think it's almost physically in our country impossible, but, it's a trend and we need to watch it.
Again, my mind is numb. So as you think about the growing percentage of BEVs in the VIO, Derek, how do you think about the impact on component service? For example, what will the impact on brake jobs be due to BEVs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the ultimate goal of the forecast, is not just to talk about BEV sales, but to say, okay, how does it affect tires, brakes, suspension, undercar, that type of thing. So, we look at the service levels today of the internal combustion engine cars, and then we assign a BEV impact to each one of those. So you mentioned brake jobs. So, Auto Care Association runs a list of service percentages for a long list of vehicle components of service areas like brake jobs. And I think the number on brake jobs is something like 26% of vehicles in the VIO have some form of brake job, whether that's calipers or, just rotors, just pads being replaced. 26%, pretty high percentage. So we say, okay, how does a BEV change that going forward? How will it change that 26%? So we know they have regenerative braking. I was talking to a person at a meeting the other day who drives a Tesla Y. And he said when he lifts his foot off the accelerator, that car will basically bring itself to a halt without ever touching the brake pedal. Now, not all electric cars have that strong a regenerative braking, but they all have regenerative braking. So when you leave off, they convert the motor to a generator and pump juice back into the battery. So we're saying about 50% of brake jobs or brake related work will go away on a BEV. Now we've been varying this as we've looked at various models. We were at 30% originally, but we have increased it, saying that these cars have stronger regen on average. So you take that 50% reduction and apply it to the ratio of BEVs in the VIO, and then you begin to understand, what percentage of the VIO is BEV. Those cars have a 50% reduction. So in 2030, we see brake jobs down 2.5%. In 2040, we see them down 9%. In 2050, we see them down 22%. So it's not, it's not the 50%, it only applies to, the percentage of cars that are BEVs. I'll take engine tune-ups as another good example, because that's kind of that's 100% that goes away. But when our model takes into account the number of ICE vehicles, then what we see is a 5% reduction in engine tune-ups in 2030, about an 18% reduction in 2040, and a 36 by 2050. So, we have that. We have it done. We think that tire wear will go up. The cars are heavier. The torque is higher. Tesla owners are experiencing a lot of tire replacements in the 20 and 30,000 mile range. Now, software can alter that going forward, by putting kind of launch control on your vehicle. But on average, we think that tire wear will go up. We think that suspension wear will go up and steering wear will go up, simply because the cars are heavier. We're trying to take into account the center of gravity of the vehicles being lower and what the scrub angles are and all those types of things. So we try to get pretty technical as to how we think about it, and we don't just go off the headlines.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, the white lab coat comes out, you know, in the future, because there's no doubt we're going to have to be great diagnosticians, because this is now a network. It's a rolling computer, as you said, chassis, all the sensors. I don't think, like you say, the traditional kind of work that we have always relied on to grow great aftermarket sales is going to be there. HVAC, I'm sure there's going to be air conditioning, heating work. So in a different kind of form, you know, I get all that. But it's fun, I think, to think about that we're in an incredible revolution, Derek. We're seeing it in front of our very own eyes. I mean, it's not like disc brakes. It's not like HEI and all that, those things that fuel injection, that's going to go away. I think there's enough smart people out there that realize we've got to embrace this. We've got to pay attention. We've got to put up our shingle. And it says we repair hybrids and EVs. And so many companies create brand new companies. For example, Grand Rapids Hybrids is a great friend of mine it's 50% of his business because he marketed it that way.
There's a whole sub industry forming right now around this, and you know, you got to live your life with rising expectations. So you've got to say, am I going to turn this into an opportunity, or am I going to be a victim of this challenge? And you know, going forward, I think a lot of shop owners have already kind of dialed in the fact that their powertrain work has gone away over the last 10 years, not gone away, but has reduced because, you know, the service interviews are up, the oils last longer, you don't do the oil changes, component quality is up over the last 10 or 15 years. So they've relied more on undercar service. Well, BEVs actually, I think, bring more undercar service to you. So I think there's opportunities here. Brakes will go down, but other things will go up. You got to stay on the curve and understand, and also understand that it's very, very doable to have your techs trained from a high voltage standpoint. It doesn't mean the end of your capabilities to service a car.
I was just going to say that. Smarter marketers, better training. Please don't sit on the sidelines. Get on the point of that plow in your world, in your arena. Read everything that you can, like Derek. We'll have Derek on as often as we can so that we can keep you on the cutting edge. So let me summarize this. A revolution in technology, changing cars from gas to electrons, but a slower evolution of service as BEVs move through their lease period and enter the independent service sector over a 10 to 20 period. I mean, I think that's a conservative yet smart estimate.
Good summary.
Thanks, man. Pay attention. Be in it. And always, thanks to Derek Hoffman for being here with us.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.